Hello, it's Spooky Boo, Mistress of Midnight and Goddess of the Scares. Tonight I bring you Halloween stories. So go grab that blanket and grab a glass of wine and listen. Halloween Horror. Long ago on Halloween night, a mass killer roamed the desolate streets of a quiet Arizona suburb. In search of victims, his blade trembled in his hand as he hunted. The muffled breathing behind the latex clown mask was all that could be heard from him. His eyes raised from side to side as he watched countless children prance around in their colorful or spooky costumes, shouting with joy and excitement from the endless amounts of sugar they would soon devour. Continuing down the street, he spotted a teenage couple preparing to enter a treehouse in a backyard. Making his way toward them, the couple was already safe inside. It wouldn't be long before they'd make their exit, and this man had nothing but patience, along with the urge to strike. As the couple made love in the treehouse, the silent figure leaned behind the tree in wait. Taking the blade across the bark, he carved something that read, "Hide all you want, I will find you." As he finished his crude writing, a groan could be heard from above, implying the couple had finished. "Oh my God, that was amazing. I'm going to go grab a beer. Do you want one?" he asked his lover before she smiled and nodded in approval. Slipping into his jeans, he blew her a kiss as he exited through the trapdoor in the floor of the wooden asylum. Silently whistling a tune, the man behind the tree reached out and clamped his hand fiercely around the teen's throat and slamming his head against the rough bark. The teen struggled to break free before the bark was struck a second time from his skull. Blood sprayed against the killer's mask as he forced the boy to stop breathing and ended his life through a final slam. The limp figure fell free from the grip and collapsed into the grass. Glaring down at him, he felt no remorse for what he did. A thump from above refocused his attention to the girl inside. He took a hold of the crude planks nailed into the tree, used as a ladder, and made his way inside. "Well, it took you long enough," she began to say as the creaking of the trapdoor echoed inside the small room. "Where's my..." She stopped suddenly as she turned over to see who was standing over her. She began to sob in fear as he exposed the blade. "I swear I have no idea where she is," she began. "You have to believe me. Please don't hurt me." Her cries of desperation had no effect on the killer as he made his way closer to her. She pushed herself away from him until she was in the far corner of the treehouse. Inching closer, the man sheathed the blade and reached down to help her up as if sympathizing with her. Her tears began to flow as she looked at him in the eyes, believing that he would not harm her. She smiled a bit before the man let out a muffled exhale of breath and forcefully grabbed her throat. The rubber gloves was all she could feel before he pushed her against the wall and raised her higher. Exposing the blade once more, she struggled like her boyfriend did outside as he lightly pressed the razor-sharp tip against her soft flesh. Without any motion of the blade, her struggles created incisions against her belly. The thick crimson poured into the floor as she slowly began to go numb. Growing weary, the man decided to end her life. He carried her to the window with his hand still clamped around her throat and tossed her out. As she fell like an angel slowly falling from heaven, about to collide with the earth. The man glanced down at her lifeless body, crashed beside her lover, their hands now together a final time. He sat in the window and leaped down with much fury. The man stumbled off into the night in silence as children continued to roam the streets in hopes of collecting the most candy. This is not the end of this man's gruesome tale. His rampage will not stop. He will continue on until he finds her and fatally ends her life. The handprint. This happened at my friend's house a couple of years ago. It was the first time she'd thrown a big party like this for Halloween. A couple of my friends and I ended up spending the night there because no one was in any shape or mood to drive home at 2 in the morning. We crashed in her living room. The house was small, and it only had one floor. The living room is to the right of the front door, lots of windows and a big pond out in the front. Everything else is an empty field. Adjacent to the living room was a dining room and the kitchen. To the left of it, you've got your classic creepy hallway, complete with an old dusty mirror at the end of it. There were about 7 of us total, sitting in the living room when all of a sudden my friend stopped, claiming she heard a noise. So she and another one of the guests went down the hall to have a look as the rest of us continued to doze off. That was until they came running out, shutting the curtains and turning off as many lights as they could. They urged us to do the same. We shut all the curtains and turned off every light in the house, save for a couple of flashlights. That's when our lovely hostess started handing out steak and butcher knives for protection. At this point, the rest of us just wanted to understand just what the heck got them so upset. Apparently, they'd gotten halfway down the hallway when one of them noticed a movement in the corner of her eye. She looked into the office, the first floor on the right, which faced the front of the house. There was a handprint on the window. This would only seem a little odd, but the handprint was outside of the window and had never been there before. Mind you, this was a small house. We were partying all over the place. Someone had to have been outside in the last 10 or 20 minutes to make it. The only other problem was that the window in question was elevated 2 meters off from the floor. As far as I'm concerned, no one at the party was 2.5 meters tall. By now, all of us were thoroughly freaked out about the fresh handprint, except for me. Me, being oddly disinterested in freaky shit, went outside to see the handprint. That's when I realized how tall you actually had to be to make a handprint at the top of the window like that. I figured no one else had noticed yet. Besides, scaring people who are holding steak knives is a stupid idea. I went back in to check on everyone. They considered calling the cops, but the house wasn't made with a working landline, causing the reception to go to shit. I decided to calm everyone down and try to convince them that some guy got proper plastered and just hopped up to slap the window like that. Since no one had considered the height of the window, they believed me all the way to the next morning. When everyone went to sleep at night, I didn't. I ended up staying up because I knew the one thing that I hadn't told everybody. I knew the truth, and I figured I should be awake in case there was a break-in. I had to use the bathroom earlier that night, and I found a similar handprint on the bathroom window, which happened to be at least 0.5 meter higher than the one the others had found. And when I walked outside, I realized that 0.5 the windows on the front of the house had handprints. But to this day, I think I'm the only one who had discovered that. Dark Park. I never brought this story up, not even to my pals who were there that night. Pretty sure that they'd rather forget about it, too. I can't help but think about it every year when Halloween approaches. We grew up in a simple, small town, in a time when us kids could run free without worry. Nothing mattered except getting home by the time the streetlights turned on. The parks and the woods were our kingdom, and we ruled fearless. That Halloween night changed everything. A heavy mist filled the air like walking through a cloud. I remember feeling water droplets against my face, cold, damp, yet exciting. My pals got permission to stay out later for Halloween and supervise as long as we promised to stick together. We had already trick-or-treated every house on our block, and decided to continue down to the lower block for more candy. There was a park just outside that neighborhood, where we rarely played. It has a swing set with two cast iron sculptures on the top bar. One is a lion head, and the other is the head of a clown. They are about the size of a jack-o'-lantern and are similarly hollow. Weather and time had peeled away most of the paint, making them creepy even in the light on a normal day. I'm sure they looked neat when it was built in the 1960s, but not so much by the time we inherited the park. Sometimes we dared each other to climb up onto the top and reach into the mouth of either the clown or the lion to put something in it or to see what someone left. Those hollow heads with gaping mouths were not the only reason we rarely played in that park. But that's what took us there that Halloween night, a dare to reach into the clown's mouth. I remember standing shoulder to shoulder with my pals on the sidewalk in front of the park. The last house light on the edge of the lower block was barely visible up the road, the clown and the lion looking down at us with open mouths and peeling paint. As if the ornaments atop the swing set weren't bad enough, it was a slide behind it that caused concern for every generation of kids who played in that park. A green S-curve slide stood behind the swing set. We all knew the story about the slide. We froze in panic when something began rustling under the slide. I hope my heart never beats hard like that again. We heard an unmistakable choked gurgle coming from under the slide. Then something dark reached out and thrashed against it. Metal hit metal with a tink tink, and the gurgling grew into a wailing moan. I dropped my bag of candy and ran toward home as fast as I could, with my pals doing the same. I'm not sure if anyone else looked back, but I saw her. The dark form scampered out from beneath the slide. It staggered forward, grasping at its neck, and fell. It crawled and reached at us. The gurgling cry will haunt me forever. Years before our time there, a girl had been playing alone at the park. She had put on her dog's collar and leash to play pretend she was a doggy. No one's really sure how it happened, but it seemed that she had climbed up to the top of the slide and fell off. The leash had wrapped around the railing at the top, and she was found there, hung dead. The tales about her ghost under the slide had been passed along from generation to generation of kids who played in that park. I wonder how many stories about that slide have never been told. I've never brought it up myself until now. I wish I could forget about it. Pumpkin boats. Connor used to reside in a small town near a lake. Each year on the night before Halloween, Connor and his friends, Corey and Ryan, would each place a pumpkin in the lake. On Halloween, they would travel to the other side of the lake to see if their pumpkins had arrived. On a cold October night, Connor had gathered his friends at the lake. They each carefully set their pumpkins in the dark water. The boys knew that they should head home. There had recently been a kidnapping after all. Connor and Ryan started to walk back, but something had caught Corey's eye. He informed the others that he had thought he had saw something behind a tree that was only a handful of yards away. The tree that lies in front of the thick forest, letting anything that used to lurk behind it. Hastily escape a view. Early in the afternoon, Connor and his friends were at the lake, eager to start the long trek to the other side. There had been a brief downpour the previous night, hence the ordinarily bare dirt path had shifted into a damp mud. As the boys were walking, Ryan pointed out what looked to be light footprints traveling down the trail. However, Connor and Corey didn't think much of it. As they continued down the path, they spotted the lake. The boys ran towards it in anticipation. When they stepped on the small patch of grass that borders the lake, Connor noticed something. His pumpkin, an average-sized pumpkin with a stem that curled and ended in a point, rested on the grass. Ryan's pumpkin was on the shore about a yard away. Corey's pumpkin, however, was nowhere to be found. When Connor was at his house, he started to carve at the pumpkin. However, something was wrong. The pumpkin had a small slip near the top. When Connor finished carving to the top of the pumpkin, he noticed a small bag inside. The bag contained a note that read, "Have a jolly Halloween." Connor was visibly perplexed by the note. "Why did someone put this in my pumpkin?" Connor thought out loud. He decided aloud that it might have been in there before he even bought the pumpkin. That slit was hardly visible, so he could have overlooked it. That night, Connor and his friends were ecstatic to go trick-or-treating. They walked around the neighborhood for about an hour before coming to a halt at a certain house. Corey stopped the others and pointed out what he thought was the pumpkin he had released into the water on a previous night. Connor and Ryan both informed him that the pumpkin looked just similar and was not, in fact, his. An hour later, Connor and his friends were at his house comparing how much candy they had each received. Connor was going through his candy when he felt a small piece of paper. The paper read, "I hope you had a jolly Halloween." Connor gasped in shock. He quickly informed his friends about the note he had found earlier that day and asked them if they had a similar note in the candy. Ryan and Corey carefully searched their candy, and to no avail. Now Connor was scared. He started to question everything in the past couple of days. Ryan informed him that it must be a coincidence, and maybe they were all just overthinking it. Connor liked that idea. He put his candy away and said goodbye to his friends. The next day, Connor had no school, but his parents had to work, so he was alone. After a while, he got hungry, so he reached into the jar that housed his candy. He felt a strange object, so he pulled it out. In his hand was a square candy with a red wrapper sealing it shut. One side of the wrapper was slightly transparent. Connor unwrapped the candy only to find a box. The box had a small camera lens on the side, and the top read, "Soon you won't be jolly." Connor stumbled backward and ran outside in a panic. His backyard is right next to a dense forest, so he tried to flee. But I rushed to him and gasped him. The boy's struggling stopped after some time, and I was easily able to drag him into the forest. He won't be jolly for a long time. It's too early to trick or treat. I'm in desperate need of help. If anyone reading this could please give me some insight, it would be greatly appreciated. I'm aware that some or most of you may be hardcore horror fans like myself. That's why I'm coming to you with a serious problem. I've always been a fan of horror. I've always enjoyed a good jump scare or a creepy feeling to keep me up. However, what I have been going through for the past 10 years is something I cannot understand. I'm a 40-year-old man. I'm happily married. I have 3 children who all go to different universities. Every year, my wife and I would get extremely excited around the fall season. The reason for that is particularly because we both love Halloween. We would always spend a good few grand on decorations and candy. We were known as the go-to house in our Halloween neighborhood for scoring a motherload of delicious treats. However, as I mentioned, something strange occurred around 10 years ago. One night, my wife and I were enjoying a little quality time together when we got an unexpected knock at the door. I answered it, and I was nearly knocked off my feet from the sudden scare. When I opened the door, I was greeted by a large person in a yellow rabbit costume. It looked like a mascot. At close examination, the costume was a little unsettling. The head of the costume contained massive cartoon eyes and ears that were quite long. The whole costume was pretty impressive. It looked like one of those full-body costumes you wouldn't just find in a store. It was like one of those suits you would have to pay a pretty penny for online. The bunny held a small jack-o'-lantern bucket in his hands. He proceeded to hold it forward without saying a word. This is where the problem comes in. This happened in the early part of September. As you can imagine, we didn't have any candy to give the poor fellow. I didn't want to be rude. I thought this could have just been a confused person. There was no way this was a child. The person was huge. They had to have been at least 6.5 feet tall. I'm sorry. It's a little too early for treats. Why don't you come back in October? We'll definitely have something for you then, I said. The bunny simply looked down at his candy bucket, turned his back, and skipped down the street. Naturally, we found the situation quite bizarre. This wouldn't necessarily be a cry for help if it ended there. The next time, it was late in December. Snow was practically pelting down on the town. That's when we received a knock at the door. I answered, and I was greeted by the bunny-suited individual again. The suit looked visibly dirty, as if it hadn't been off in who knows long. The funny thing is, this person never came to my house on October 31st. Not a single time. I tried to be nice again and told the person there was no candy. I also told him he should probably find some shelter from the blizzard. There was no way I was letting him in my house. The next time it happened again was in the middle of January. At this point, I was quite frankly getting a little bit irritated and uncomfortable. I even informed the local authorities. I could legally say he was harassing me in my house. All these years, the police never came up with anything. I let this go on for 5 years before we decided to move. One time I even answered my door with my gun and threatened violence. Apparently, that didn't intimidate him in the slightest. After we moved about 2 miles on the other side of town, we thought it was over. For a few months, nothing happened, until one day I got a knock at the door. I didn't think it would be him, because everything seemed fine. We didn't have any problems anymore. However, when I answered, it was surely the costume rabbit again. His costume was completely filthy. I could see large accumulations of dust and spiderwebs. I could even see little spiders crawling all over his body. It was as if the costume was beginning to rot. No matter how many times I threatened violence or snapped on the guy, he would always come back. And this is what I need help with. A few days ago, he came back. I was reluctant to answer the door. It never worked before anyway. This time, when I answered, I could see splats of a dried red substance along his mouth and torso. I just wanted this encounter to be over with, so I reached into my pocket and handed him some peppermints. Surprisingly, he shook his head to say no. I have to admit that I'm stupid. For the first time in 10 years, I asked him the question I never thought to ask. What do you want? His body went still for a few seconds. Then he extended his bucket towards me and gestured for me to look inside. I nearly vomited at the sight. Inside his bucket, there was a heart. For my own conscience, I choose to believe it wasn't human, but I have my doubts. In an act of defense, I punched the bunny right in his face. His soft cotton head went flying into my front lawn. What I saw then has kept me up ever since. Under the mask, there was nothing. There was no person. It was just empty. I looked over in the yard and at the discarded head. I swear for a split second I saw the head blink. Before I could even process what was happening, the body ran towards the head. It picked up its head and ran at an inhuman speed. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to deal with this. I could honestly use some help. I've gone to the police. I've gone to my kids. Everyone thinks my wife and I are crazy. I'm desperate for help. I'm afraid that my life and my wife are on the line. Why? Because this morning something was written on my front door. See you on Halloween for one last time. I'm taking that as a threat. We've already decided that we'll be leaving town for Halloween. I don't know if it will matter. What if it finds us like it did the first time? Why is it coming for us? What the hell even is it? If anyone has any solution or answers, please let me know. Halloween is quickly approaching. We're running out of time. And if a big yellow rabbit comes to your door on Halloween, or any time, slam the door in its face. The Void. Rumor has it that every Halloween, during the hours of 2 a.m. and 5 a.m., there is a void that opens up in reality. It's said that you could take advantage of the void for a price. You must stand in front of a mirror in a pitch-black room with your gaze fixated on the mirror. If you remain in the room when the moment arrives, you will feel a chill seize your body. Place your right hand on the mirror and whisper, "I accept." If done correctly in the mirror, there will be a faint image of an infant with no flesh and pitch-black eyes. He will stare directly into your soul, and you will be filled with unspeakable terror. You will also hear the buzzing of flies and nervous whispering. The infant will ask you 5 questions about events that have occurred in your life. His voice will sound like the rubbing of sandpaper and will be devoid of all human emotion. For each question that you answer incorrectly, one of your 5 senses will be consumed and lost to you forever. For each question that is answered correctly, you will be able to recite the name of someone you know. That person will be found dead the next morning with their flesh removed and their eyes missing. Hey, it's Spooky Boo. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed these stories, head on over to my website at www.scarystorytime.com and let me know what you think. Also, I have a Patreon account, www.spookyboo.club, and you can get episodes that are no longer available, episodes before they even hit the podcast, and even an anthology, the printed anthology, and also in PDF when the stories come out on Amazon.com. So visit my website or my Patreon page and let's have some fun. I'm going to head over and watch Creature Features now. I love all of the old movies and the cast is just amazing. They're so hilarious. I think you'd like it too. www.creaturefeatures.tv. Thanks for listening and come back tomorrow night.